Chaos reigns in the Premier Lacrosse League. Chaos LC denied the Whipsnakes a three-peat, rising from an 0-3 start to be crowned PLL champions. Blaze Reardon led a stout defense that denied the back-to-back champs, and a ragtag group featuring several Canadian box talents triumphed despite 3.2% of fans picking them at the start of the playoffs. The architect behind it was Coach Andy Towers, who had a long career in lacrosse from his All-American playing days at Brown, nearly 20 years of NCAA coaching, plus playing stints in MLL and NLL, has been a larger-than-life, in-your-face, but most of all, 100% authentic figure in the sport. He shares his philosophy, gives some insight into the Chaos title run, and more in an interview with IL's Matt Kinnear and Kevin Brown. Enjoy. Our special guest this week on the PLL podcast is Chaos coach Andy Towers, PLL champion Andy Towers. Coach, how does it feel, PLL champion?
It feels great, man. It's been a wild 10 days. I'm just so happy that our players' sacrifices and the work of Ryan Curtis and Matt Panetta were all validated with accomplishing what we set out to do, which was to win the PLL championship. So I'm pumped.
Well, not only validated, but just in writing the Dane Smith feature, you were telling me all about how you're kind of given this potluck of players. You don't really have an identity compared to some of the other clubs. What's it mean to kind of do it your way and have this Canadian box influence triumph in the PLL?
Yeah, you know, I think that you sort of look at the makeup of our team and, you know, while we didn't have an initial connection, so to speak, as it relates to a lot of guys that had played for, you know, the same school or had played on the national team together, you know, it was kind of like we had little pods of players. And over the course of the last 3 years, you know, we've traded, we've put some players in the player pool, you know, and we've gotten rid of some great people. But what we've been trying to do is trying to get a group of guys that have prioritized or that prioritize the success of the group ahead of everything else. And it's really hard to be able to do that when you got so many awesome players that play a variety of different styles and there's no established connection or hierarchy, you know? And so certainly we felt that was a challenge in the first season, but we also recognized that over time, that would be an advantage that was diluted. And I think that the culmination of that happened this summer and not that those teams were any less connected than they were in the first year. I think all the teams are more connected than they were in the first year. But I do think that we certainly were able to secure a roster of like-minded thinkers that all, again, were willing to sacrifice a piece of their game for the chance that the group could accomplish what it set out to do. And now I feel that we have the connection that the other teams may have had a little bit of a head start on in the first year. You know, and I feel like that connection is our greatest weapon. You know, all the players in this league are incredible. There's, you know, another probably 30 to 40 players that are incredible that aren't in this league, that aren't on rosters. And, you know, it goes to show you that the difference between talent is really, really thin. But in our opinion, the difference between guys that are team first ahead of everything else, regardless of what their respective role is monumental. And that's something that we focused on when we were building our team, and to have it all come together at the right time is a credit to the players that we were able to roster, and a credit to Ryan Curtis and Matt Panetta that were able to get these guys connected at both ends of the field.
Andy, what you're describing is pretty unique, you know, to PLL. You're the GM, you're the coach, you're managing a lot of guys who have a lot of other commitments, who have come from different schools, different, you know, whatever they have going on professionally might be different. What did you learn? And I know you have about 20 years of NCAA coaching experience, but with this experience coaching PLL, what did you learn that was most important about your own coaching development that maybe you didn't realize 3 years ago?
That you can't bend on people that are sort of in. You know, I when I was younger, I was so consumed with winning as the number one evaluation of the job that we did. And sometimes when you look at that and you define success by winning, you'll make a short-term decision to play somebody that perhaps has a greater resume or is more talented at the expense of somebody who's more bought in to the team's success. And what I learned this summer, what I always thought, or what I gradually came to appreciate, was the best teams are going to win. And it's, you know, you are kind of taking a chance a little bit when you perhaps opt to play people that might on paper not have the same resume, so to speak, for somebody that is perhaps slightly less established. And we made those decisions over the course of the last 3 years. And I'm not, you know, indicting any one player. We lost a lot of great people and again, phenomenal players. But we really, this year, what I learned and what our staff came to appreciate is that you can't bend on zero maintenance people. You know, it especially in the PLL where there's, where all the players are phenomenal. You know, the challenge is finding the right players that are phenomenal. And by right, I mean team first, ahead of everything else, regardless of what their role is. You'll find a lot of guys that are team first until you take them out of the lineup, and then all of a sudden, they're not as team first as you thought they were or as they led you to believe. And I think that we were able to identify the right group of guys, and you know, in the end, that allowed us to accomplish what not many people thought that we could accomplish, but yet what our locker room had no doubt that we were going to be able to accomplish.
Yeah, that 3.2% there, that you found that right group, but more importantly, I think you found that right balance of letting them talk in the huddle and also saying, when it's not working, hey guys, you got to listen to me and wait deeper in the shot clock, or you do this defensively. How hard was it finding that balance this season?
You know, I think that we're dealing with men, right? And you're dealing with the best players in the world and some of the best lacrosse minds in the world. And, you know, we'd be foolish to not utilize their expertise in the sport. You know, they're the ones that really know who the best teammates are out there and what the respective skill sets and IQ, you know, is of the players that are out there. And so we would be foolish to not lean on the guys on our team as it relates to roster moves. And we'd be equally foolish to not make every huddle and every practice a conversation. And that's what they are. You know, it really is not an issue, or was never an issue of, you know, hey, listen to me. I don't think that was ever the tone of any of us. It was rather, you know, if we were not playing a specific way or we were not successful, it was more of a reminder of, let's not forget, you know, what our game plan is here. And, you know, maybe we got off that a possession or two, and let's take control again by imposing our game plan on them. And that takes everybody to make disciplined decisions for us to do that. And that's really what it was. You know, it's everything in our locker room is a conversation, and it it's a binding dynamic when people feel that their voice is heard. And even though you might not ultimately be able to do every suggestion that the guys in the locker room have, just the fact that everything is a conversation gives people an innate sense of ownership. And again, that gets you connected. And that's what I think we benefited from.
You know, I don't think there's an assistant coach of the year award in PLL, but did Ryan Curtis have one of the great seasons of all time for an assistant coach this year?
Yeah, Ryan Curtis, in my opinion, and I would say the opinion of our locker room and anybody that followed this season, you know, clearly was the best defensive coordinator in the league. There's just no question about it. You know, Ryan Curtis has had a Hall of Fame career. Frankly, he should be in the U.S. Hall of Fame. I really hope that they figure that out and put him in. You know, he was National Defenseman of the Year at Virginia. He was the Defensive Player of the Year in the MLL. He played on the U.S. World Team. You know, that's a U.S. Lacrosse Hall of Fame resume. You know, and with that said, the characteristics that made him one of the best players in the sport's history are the same characteristics that has made him the best defensive coach in the league and one of the best coaches, you know, of the sport in general. You know, we could easily be on his staff. You know, with that said, everything that we do between Matt Panetta, our offensive coordinator, Ryan and myself, we're all, you know, discussing every element of each game. But yes, I mean, Ryan Curtis did an absolutely incredible job. We completely defer to his plan on the defensive end. And he did such a phenomenal job throughout the year of creating specific game plans for specific opponents. You know, as you could see with the way that we played, particularly down the stretch of the playoffs, you know, we had a unique game plan for each team. And Ryan deserves all the credit for that. And our players deserve all the credit for being able to play their respective role within the broader lens scheme that Ryan laid out for us.
Yeah, and that game plan in the championship game really worked out for you. Jared shutting off Matt Rambo for most of it. Him and Zed both held goalless. Just incredible stuff. But I think Ryan's gotten some publicity. Blaze, obviously, one of the best goalie seasons in pro lacrosse at the field level history.
100%. And Blaze is the best player in the world. Go ahead.
You've been saying that for a while now. So
yep.
for it to actually come to fruition this season, I think, is something else. But I think someone who hasn't gotten a lot of love is Johnny Sertic. He's played unbelievable the latter half of the season, especially in the playoffs. What was it like seeing him just shut down midfielders up top like that?
So satisfying. You know, you're not going to find, again, a better teammate, a more humble person than Johnny Sertic. You know, we drafted him that first year. Him and Jack Rowlett were our first two picks. And you know, we had Brody Merrill on the roster at the time. Jared Newman was Defensive Player of the Year and deserved it that first summer. And so Johnny just didn't get the same amount of reps that we really wanted for him. But we were fired up to go to the bubble and have him be part of that and be able to get that experience after we lost Brody in that offseason. And so Johnny was all set to come, and then the general calls him up and says, yo, you're not coming. You can't go. And so Johnny went from positive he was going to go play in the bubble to not playing at all. So realistically, Johnny didn't get a ton of minutes that first summer, didn't play at all last summer, and, you know, became an every game starter for us, showed the versatility of being able to go up top and play midfielders or stay down low and play attackman. And Johnny is, you know, a number one cover guy in this league. Exactly like Jack and exactly like Jared are. You know, we really believe that we've got the three best cover guys on our team. And not only are those guys phenomenal defensemen, but they're such unbelievable teammates. You know, Jack Rowlett said in an interview, you know, after the game that Ryan could put any of those three guys on any of the top players on any team in the PLL, and we'd feel very confident about our ability to win that matchup. And that shows that there's egoless defensemen at that end of the field. I mean, really, the whole locker room is egoless. But I think that Johnny Surdick is just touching the surface. You know, this was really his first full season after being National Defenseman of the Year his senior year at Army. And so we look at the age of Blaze and Jared and Johnny and Jack, and we feel really good about that end of the field. And I'm just so happy that Johnny was able to play full time for us and be such an integral part of our defense and of our championship team.
Andy, I know, you know, you have a tremendous amount of experience at the Faceoff X. Just kind of generally, like, how have you seen, you know, and you've been involved with coaching so long that you've seen kind of this position change so much over the years. You know, what do you just think of the overall, the state of the faceoff, the rules in the PLL, and finally just what Max was able to do progressing over the course of the season for you?
I think the PLL faceoff rules, I think the PLL rules and field dimensions are the best. I think it's the most cutting edge. I think that the sport would be better off across the board at all levels to adopt the field dimensions of the PLL and adopt all of their respective rules, 2-point included, and the face-off setup included. I think the face-offs were the hardest part of the game to officiate for Matty Palem and his crew, and yet I think they did a great job at that. You know, it's a really hard thing to officiate when you have guys whose success stems on fusing cutting-edge techniques with front-end-of-the-whistle hand speed. And I think Matt and his crew did an incredible job of officiating that aspect of the game this summer, and that's absolutely the hardest part to officiate. You know, I just think that you get to a point in this league where the guys are so good as it relates to their respective techniques that really the guy that's able to be the most at the front end of the whistle is the guy that's going to dictate where the ball goes. And if he keeps it tight, he might be able to get it himself. And if he doesn't keep it tight, then the field dimensions with the wings being closer than they are in Division I lacrosse really make it a 3-on-3 battle. And at times you could see specific face-off guys dominating. And at times you could see groups dominating, whether that was us with Troy Ray and CJ Costabile and, you know, Jared, Johnny, or Jack on the other wing, or a short stick, you know, and Ian Glick or Resch, or whether you saw a team like the Water Dogs with Withers and Rylan Reese and Zach Currier, you know, be so successful as a three-man unit. And I think that the PLL has gotten that right. I think they've gotten a ton right. But I really am a firm believer after playing in the league for 3 years that they've got it right this way. That it solves a lot of problems. It solves problems at the face-off X. You know, it makes it more of a 3-on-3 battle. It's a faster paced game. It's just more exciting across the board, in my opinion.
So, Coach, you'd have thrown the 2-time champs and the Whip Snakes, and you guys celebrate like so. you tell me after the game, it's an above average feeling, which is quite understandable. But yep. From your perspective, give us the story of the trophy drop in the locker room.
Listen, man, we won that trophy as a team. And we broke that trophy as a team. And as I said to these guys, look, now we just got to go out and win another one, right? And in 2022, that will be our goal. Yeah, listen, that'll be our goal next year. But next year's team is totally unique and independent of this year's team's success. This year's team was an unbelievable experience and a great group of guys. You know, but 2022 is going to bring a totally independent cast to that, and I'm hopeful that it will be all the same guys. With that said, you know, there's many unseen hurdles that will be coming up, and we'll have to address those. But our quest for the PLL championship in 2022 has already begun as we discuss areas where we can get better and everything else. So we're pumped. But you're not getting any insight as to who. We won it. We broke it.
Yeah. And I know you've got some NLL experience under your belt as a player.
Yeah.
Are you going to be a Bandits fan this year? And are you going to have a maybe even more of an eye to the NLL this PLL offseason?
You know what? I'm a fan of the NLL in general. I think the National Lacrosse League is a fantastic product. And I'm really happy to see that both the NLL and the PLL have a great working relationship and are really, committed to the success of each other. And that's great for the sport across the board. I'm actually an American scout for the Albany Firewolves, as well as doing the color commentating for them.
Nice.
And so I will be rooting for the Albany Firewolves to win, but I certainly, am a huge advocate and am rooting for the success of the individual players on my team, Chaos, that are sprinkled around the NLL. But it's hard to not root for the Buffalo Bandits, with so many of our key players on that team. So that's the way I would answer that question.
Well, it's going to be the most entertaining Albany Firewolves games, must-see TV if you're going to be doing the color commentary.
Well, I appreciate, your enthusiasm. We'll see. I was probably the worst NLL player in the history of the sport. So it's probably a lot better that I'm up in the booth talking about what I couldn't do as an indoor player than, being on the floor, that's for sure.
No, you just had a column run on Inside Lacrosse from your boy Peter's Lasagna, and he was talking about how when college coaches or colleges reach out to you, you said you would always listen. Has anyone reached out to you recently, and any desire to go back to the college ranks, or are you content with your kind of situation where you are now?
You know what, Pete Lasagna is an unbelievable friend and certainly an incredibly talented writer. It was very, very humbling that he wrote that piece on me and our season. It was awesome to read and awesome to reconnect with him. And we've been reconnected, for a long time. So, but it was really, really complimentary and humbling to read what he wrote. And that was awesome. I love the PLL. I love our team. I love our players. I love the experience. I wouldn't trade it for anything. I don't see myself ever leaving the PLL, but I will always listen to anybody at any time. To answer your question, no one has contacted me, and that's not a call I'm waiting for, but should somebody call me, yeah, I'm going to pick it up, and I'm going to listen to everything. I'd be a fool not to, but I can tell you my heart is in the PLL. I'm extremely excited about where it's going. I'm extremely excited about, the enthusiastic investors, the sponsors that the league has secured, the job that Mike and Paul and Seth and Brian have done. It's incredible that in just 3 years, they've carved out such a unique niche in the pro sports lacrosse landscape. And I think momentum is only building in a really, really positive way. So I'm very, very excited to stay in the PLL coaching as long as I'm allowed to do that.
Yeah, it's great news for PLL fans.
Appreciate that.
Taking a left turn here, just kind of inspired by your guys' celebration on the field and in the locker room and even beyond after the championship game. If you're in a bar fight and you have three Chaos players with you, who are you choosing?
Wow, I gotta think about that, man.
No cop out answers either.
Wow. Okay. All right. I'll answer it. Look, as tough as those Canadians are up front, and we are Canadian slick up front and redneck tough in the back. I gotta say, I would just go with, and I could have a few different answers for this, but I'm just going to go with our back line, and I'm going to say Jack Rowlett, Jared Newman, and Johnny Sertic. Those would be the guys that I would go. with. But Blaze is right there. You know, Ads is a high school wrestler, is right there. You know, no one's tougher than Glassini or Resch or Ian McKay. You know, I could go down the line. But I'm going to go with the back line that we have there with Jared Jack and Johnny.
Yeah, got to go get the U.S. Army guy.
That's right.
Last question for you, Coach. And
yes.
Thank you for joining us here.
100%.
Hello, Happy Hour podcast. But your pregame speeches has been the talk of the town. They're always pumping everyone up. I have it set as my alarm these days.
You're a sick fuck.
What coaches or anyone in particular get you pumped up to make those kind of things?
You know what? I don't really have a plan for those things. I try to take the circumstances of where we are as a team, who we're playing that day, how the season has played out for each team, and sort of what's at stake. And if there's something that I can connect from my life and parallel our situation with that, then I'll use it. You know, they're 100% authentic. You know, certainly I want to get my team excited, but I'm not set out to get them pumped as much as I'm set out to add clarity to the opportunity at hand. And the excitement or the intensity comes from, you know, the anticipation of us winning and the enthusiasm that we have to attack the opportunity together and ideally go out and get one step closer to winning the PLL championship. And that's really the way that it works out. And so some of those things have been caught on camera and, you know, have been celebrated, and that's awesome. You know, but the goal is to get our guys to realize, you know, what we can do from a controllable standpoint to go out and manufacture a win that day, seeing that wins are so hard to come in this league. And that's really the intention behind it. But I appreciate the good words for sure.
Has there been a third encounter with the guy in the Outlaws shirt?
No, we put him down. Never saw him again.
Love it.
Awesome. Andy, this has been great. Thanks for chatting with us this morning and congrats on the championship. I think no matter what you think of, no matter what team you're a fan of, this was a hell of a fun ride for everybody.
Well, listen, I can't thank you guys enough for what you do across the board for the sport. I can't thank you enough for what you do as it relates to the PLL, and certainly appreciate all the adulation and the congratulations as it relates to our run this summer. So thanks for everything that you guys do, and go dominate your day.